Praise God. God is in control. Praise the Lord. Amen. And before you're seated, I'm going to read to you tonight. This morning I preached on, amen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Holy Ghost put a part of that message for tonight in my heart. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 20, it said, "And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound with their coats and their hosen and their hats and their garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace was exceedingly hot, and the flame of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fire of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and arose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said, O king, true, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the first one, which is amazing to me, is like the Son of God. Lord, we love you, God, and praise you, Jesus, for your spirit, your presence. God, we thank you for this service, your message. God, help us, dear Lord, to take the word of God and to put it in our hearts today. And God, I'm going to give you all the praise, glory, and honor in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Can everyone say amen? Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Worship and singing is a wonderful thing. I want you to know that tonight. But I want you to know that worship and singing can be an emotional thing. Praise God. And that's fine. And that's good. But the real thing that's going to keep you this week is the Word of God. That is the Word of God. That is not emotional. That is as solid as a rock. Because Jesus told Peter, he said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, praise God, on the Word of God. The message, or the story that I read to you, or the passage of Scripture that I read to you, we find that there are three Hebrew children, praise the Lord, that were in captivity and in bondage. And they were, they wouldn't bow down to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. And so they would not give up on their God Jehovah. And so Nebuchadnezzar took and had them threw into the furnace that was fired up seven times hotter. That's amazing to me that they would use the word seven times. Seven is God's number. And so he actually threw them into God's number, or into God. And the amazing thing to me was that when they fell into that fire, amen, those wicked men, or those men that threw them in, died. And but the three that was thrown into the fire, the only thing that that fire did was consume, amen, the men that threw them in there and consume the things that bound them so that they could not be loosed. It's amazing to me. Praise God. It lets me know that there's something special about our trials. That's why James says, count it all joy when you fall into temptation. Amen. But what amazed me was the fact that Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire and he saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That had to blow his mind to look into that fire and see these three men walking. That had to get his attention right away. But that was not enough that got his attention. When he looked into that fire, he said, I see the fourth man walking in that fire. And his exact words was, amen, that he looked like the Son of God. Amen. And so when I think of that, amen, and when I think of that concept, what caused him to profess those words? He looked like the Son of God. For you see, amen, a son of God was not known until the New Testament. The Son of God, amen, of course, came in the form of a baby of Jesus Christ. They did not have any idea about a Son of God. They had no inkling about a Son of God. There was nothing that I can find anywhere in the Old Testament or in any kind of tradition or anything where they talked about the Son of God. But out of his mouth, he said, amen, he looks like the Son of God. Amen. And in that expression, amen, he spoke of something that had not existed. This expression and this concept was only started in the New Testament in the book of Acts. He did not say he was the Son of God. He said he looks like the Son of God. Amen. And so he looked at him and he said, he looks like the Son of God. And so when I look at that and I think, amen, basically with everything he knew, he did not know, amen, anything about Christ coming and the Son of God. He didn't know that a person is going to be saved. He didn't know that our power came through Jesus Christ. All of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament comes by the power of Jesus Christ. It is Christ's death, it is Christ's burial, it is Christ's resurrection that we have power over sin and death and everything. All our deliverance and everything comes over what Christ did on Calvary. It was the Son of God that saved us. And yet, this man who was a pagan, looked into a fire and said, he looks like the Son of God. How did he know that? How could he express those words? Praise God. Why did he use the words like the Son of God? Amen. Amen. And this is what I'm going to get to tonight. I believe that God either, amen, uses people or he causes a person to be used of God. You see, we pray for God to use us, and God uses us. And so we'll speak as the Holy Ghost helps us to speak. We'll talk as the Holy Ghost has us to talk. But I believe that also that God uses people. He uses people who are not Christians. He uses people that are not godly people. Amen. I believe that God allows things to happen in our political leaders because he is still in control. They may not pray to be used of God, but God uses them. And I'm saying tonight, amen, they may stand up and they may profess to be an atheist, but God still uses them to get his will. God still works with them to get his will. They may not understand. This Nebuchadnezzar may not have fully understood what he was saying, but God put it in his mind, praise the Lord, to say that they look like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar, what are you saying? What are you meaning? I don't know, but they just look like, to me, the Son of God. Because you see, hey man, we can be fearful in the fact that God is not in control of the earth. If we don't have the right president in there, then God's not going to bless America. If we don't have the right president in there, hey man, then God's not got control of the world. And we hear that. We need to make America great, and we need a right president. I'll tell you what we need to make America great. We need to have great church services. We need people to come back to the Lord and get filled, hey man, with his spirit. That's what we need to make America great. But I'm telling you, God is in control. God knows what he's doing. God knows what is happening. Amen. He's working in the people. And we pray, we say, Lord, help me, help my life to be used every day. But I got news for you, because God will either use people or a person can be used of God. Let me give you an example. David and Goliath. You remember the story? Goliath said to David, He was standing up there, and he looks at David. Can you view it that day? As he's looking at him in the field. And David and Goliath looks at David, and Goliath says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut you up in pieces, and I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds of the air and the animals of the field. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I don't think God stood back and said, Goliath, that's a good idea. I think that's what I'm going to do through David. I don't think he did that. I think God knew all along that Goliath was going to do that. And the moment that Goliath said to David, amen, your God ain't going to stop me, was the moment that Goliath stepped out of the will of God. And God was like, okay, you think you're God? You watch. I'm so big. I'm so strong. I'm so mighty. Amen. I can allow what comes out of your mouth be your destiny. So go ahead, amen, say that, because you're going to watch, because it's going to be David, amen, that's going to, David that's going to take and do that unto you. Praise God. You look at the life of Pharaoh and Moses. Pharaoh says, amen, you know, Pharaoh's a big thing up there. He's like a god. And he says to, I'm not going to allow the Israelites I'm not going to allow them to overrun me. They're going to raise a leader, and that leader's going to come against me. And he's God, he's got the answers to everything. And so Pharaoh's like that, and God's coming along, and God's like, okay, you really feel like that, huh, Pharaoh? You feel like you're going to keep my people suppressed. But let me tell you something, Pharaoh. Amen. I'm so great of a God, I'm going to allow you to raise the deliverer. Now think about the chances of that. Of all the people, when God went out into the desert and told Moses, I want you to come back and I want you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Amen. He was telling him, praise God, I've got you set up. Amen. Because I have chosen you. Because Pharaoh thinks that he's going to stop me, but he's going to be the one that raises. The reason that Moses was able to deliver them out of underneath that bondage, because he understood what it was to lead the masses of people. And I promise you something, there's some guys in here today that can tell me there's not too many people that can lead the masses. It takes a special gift to lead the masses. And he had the training. And God took Pharaoh, the man that was in charge, and caused him to raise the deliverer. God's in control, church. He uses people who are not even Christians to do his will. We look out and we think, oh, there's so many in positions that are not godly people, and they're not going to do godly things. Oh, yes, they are. God is going to use them, whether they are being used of God or whether they're letting God use them. God is going to use them. America is going to go where God wants America to go. Your life is going to go where God wants it to go. He is in control. Paul understood about Pharaoh, because Paul, amen, tells us in Romans 9 and 17, he said, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, he's talking about God, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name may be declared throughout the earth. Pharaoh thought, amen, that it was by his wits, his understanding, his knowledge, his ability, his character, that he was in the position he was. But he didn't realize God set him up there. God put him up there because God was in control and God had a purpose. Amen. I want you to know tonight we can take rest. We can take comfort. We can take an ease in the fact that no matter what the picture looks like, no matter who is in position, God is in control. God will either use that man or he will have that man be willing to be used of God. But I've got news for you tonight. There is no one, nothing, anything that can derail the will of God. God is in control, and He will do what God's going to do. Paul went on to say, "Thou wilt save them unto me. Why doth he yet find fault?" Talking about God and God doing His will. He said, "Who hath resisted His will?" Who can resist His will? A Pharaoh can't resist His will. A president can't resist His will. Praise God. The leadership. If you don't think the president's in control, whoever's in control will not get out of the will of God. God's got a will, and God will take care of that will. Amen. "Nay, but O man, who art thou?" Amen. "That repellest against God. Shall a thing formed say to him that formed him, why hast thou made thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of some lump in making one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor?" Do you realize that God created you and made you? He's in control of your life. If you're to get the job, you'll get the job. If you're to have the promotion, you'll get the promotion. If you're to go somewhere, you're going to go somewhere. No matter what, God is in control. He can control. You might say, "Well, the person is not a godly person. They don't listen to God. They don't hear the voice of God. They don't obey God. They're even, praise God, they're not even afraid of God." Hey, man, I got news for you tonight. God is still in control of them. God is still in control of them. Amen. Amen. In the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 20, do y'all remember a man by the name of Abimelech? Abimelech, amen, was a king of a country. Amen. Abraham come through and he had his wife. This is an amazing story to me. He had his wife, and she was so pretty that he was afraid that all these countries was going to kill him for his wife. Praise God. That's the problem with pretty, you know. And so he told his wife, he said, "Please tell them that I'm your sister." And so, amen, she told everyone she's his sister. Well, Abimelech saw her, and oh boy, he wants to marry her. So he begins to court her. So here she's up there getting all the things ready for her wedding, you know, all this stuff going on. And her husband's down there in a big party receiving all these gifts because he wants to bless her brother. It's a crazy situation. And finally, hey man, the story goes on that one night Abimelech was in a dream. And God spoke to him and said, "You're a dead man." Now, he was a moral person. He seems to be, to me, like a moral person. But then on the other hand, he was not a Hebrew, or he did not believe in Jehovah. But here's a moral person, a non-Christian, amen, and God speaks to him. And God says to him, he said, "You're a dead man. Why am I a dead man?" Because the man that you have, the woman that you have, that's Abraham's his wife. So he calls Abraham in, and he says to Abraham, this is what I want to tell you. He told God, he said, "God, I didn't know that." And I like this part because this is something that you can learn. God said, "Because of the integrity of your heart, I told you, if you do your best to be as upright as you can, God will protect you from what you don't know." I believe that. But the point of the matter is, here's another situation where God was in control. Amen. God reached down to an ungodly man and took care of a situation. This man wasn't asked to be used of God, but this man was used of God. We're living in a world today where, I'm going to tell you something, God is going to get His will. God is going to get His way. We don't have to worry about it because we are either going to be used of God or we're going to be used by God. Praise God. My last situation is a man by the name of Joseph. Do you realize that God used jealous brothers to get him down into Egypt? He used a lustful wife to get him in prison. He used Pharaoh's butler and baker to get him before Pharaoh. But you see, praise God, all these men were not godly men, but God used them. He used them. We're looking at a world today, amen, and we wonder, can God really speak to a leader who is not in tune with God? God still is in control of everything. Praise God. Joseph understood this very much. Praise God. Because when Joseph's father died and his brothers got very, very, very worried, amen, and they came to Joseph. I just learned this today. And they came to Joseph. They said, Joseph, we have talked with our father before his death, and our father wants us to ask you to forgive us for what we've done unto you. And it's the point, it just blew my mind, that they were so scared that they had to bring the mercies of their father to Joseph. But look what Joseph said, because Joseph understood this. Joseph said to them, he said, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? One of the things you got to know is God is in control. Praise God. He said, you intended it to harm me, but God intended it to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I'll provide for you. I will take care of your children, and I will bless you. But his concept was, if you can look back into your life, let's stand.